last few days there's been some civil and political unrest in parts of Hungary. Seems like some ultra-nationalist groups have been protesting in different places around the country, personally against the Prime Minister, and also in Budapest, 10,000 people in front of the Parliament yesterday. And then last night there was a gathering of these folks outside of the MTV National Television station, and they then broke in and ransacked the television station before the police were able to arrive and disperse them. And the protests are continuing in front of the Parliament, although I hear that it's pouring rain. Anyway, I've been keeping in touch on BBC as well as from the devotees there in Hungary. There's always some unrest in some form or another in some place in the world. People are never happy because the basis of their lives is sense gratification, and one person's sense gratification is another person's dissatisfaction, or as they say, one man's food is another man's poison. And as long as human society and political systems are based at catering to people's sense gratification, there'll continue to be conflict and disharmony, because you cannot have a common formula that satisfies everyone's whims. Rather, people should be learned how to control their senses and progress forward to the ultimate goal of life, and select those activities and those living standards that facilitate that. And of course, to this, Srila Prabhupada would also add that because generally people are quite childish, therefore sometimes, just as with children, they have to be told what is good and what is not good. And that's not such a revolutionary idea, since that's what laws are about in every country and in every political system. Some laws are there to say that you cannot kill, you cannot steal. These things do not fall within the jurisdiction of an individual's rights because they transgress upon the rights of the others. However, secular laws are set up in such a way that no one considers upon transgressing upon the laws of God. But if we take that into consideration, and if we also take people's spiritual rights and spiritual needs into consideration, then a different type of political system should prevail. Anyhow, this isn't the main topic of my discussion for today. Rather, I wanted to continue on a little more, speaking about faith, a topic that I'd touched upon a few days ago. There we talked about how faith is aroused in Krishna, and there were two ways in which that happened. One is naturally, and the other one by the strong association of very faithful devotees. Today, I want to talk about faith in Srila Prabhupada, and faith in Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Teachings which explain to us what it is that is present within Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the scriptures written by the Acharyas, and also Srila Prabhupada's teachings, which also show us how to put into practice these scriptural injunctions and revelations. Now, as with faith in Krishna, there are two kinds of faith in Srila Prabhupada. Now I'm examining the qualitative nature of faith as opposed to the varieties. In the quality of faith, faith may be pure or it may be impure. Pure faith, which is defined in Chaitanya Charitamrita as Shara Shabdi Vishvashkahi Sudrida Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. In other words, that firm faith is that if we render loving service to Krishna, all subsidiary activities are automatically performed. In other words, I need to do nothing else other than follow Krishna's instructions, and perfection in life will be achieved. That's pure faith. The same quality of pure faith can be applied to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and that is that if we simply follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings, then all success will be achieved, and there's no better way to achieve success and no better way to follow the teachings of Bhagavatam and Gita than that explained to us and exemplified for us by Srila Prabhupada. Impure faith means that we compromise those teachings of Srila Prabhupada, we make adjustments to them, or we're convinced that they need some kind of alteration in order to conform to the present time or circumstance that we find ourselves in. For instance, I know that some years back we had a person or persons who were of the strong opinion that Srila Prabhupada's stand on women's rights, his opinions about Gurukula and children's education, was something molded by the Indian culture in which Srila Prabhupada was raised at the beginning of the 20th century, that it wasn't some absolute scriptural standard which applied to everyone in all times and circumstances. This, for me, was an example of impure faith, or individuals who were so much under the influence of modern way of thinking that if it conflicts with what Srila Prabhupada taught, then they would rather qualify Prabhupada's instructions than reject modern thought. Another example is this, is what we spoke about yesterday, which is on giving 50% of one's earnings in order to maintain the Krishna consciousness movement. I've had many arguments and discussions with devotees over this subject matter who don't think that it's practical, or that it's really not what Srila Prabhupada meant. And yet Srila Prabhupada does make it quite clear that it is practical and it is what he meant. In this case, rather than try to change Prabhupada's instructions or qualify it, one should either accept that one cannot do it for some practical reason and make it an aspiration, or devotees should accept that that is the way they have to adjust their lifestyle and their circumstances allow, they should thus give that 50% of their income. And interestingly enough, we have quite a few well-off devotees in Hungary who do that, and actually they give even more. Perhaps another example of impure faith in Srila Prabhupada is Srila Prabhupada's preaching style, which was very forthright and very strong. Prabhupada did not want to compromise the standards or the teachings of Krishna consciousness. And sometimes we see that some devotees want to avoid confrontation with modern society, with other religious organizations, with popular views that are held by society, and therefore they either ignore or qualify Srila Prabhupada's teachings so that we're seen to conform or blend in with the way society is. Very often it's heard that, well, yes, we're just like everyone else. Whereas, in fact, it's obvious that we're not just like everyone else. We don't look like everyone else. We don't dress like everyone else. We don't eat like everyone else. And our belief in God is not like everyone else's in many ways. What to speak of, our values and lifestyles are not like everyone else. And in a modern democracy, they don't have to be. That's what democracy is about. It gives people the right to be different and to express their difference. But sometimes our desire to be accepted by the mainstream, quote unquote, and I say sometimes, not always, impels devotees to try to conform to mainstream values. But the mainstream are meat eaters, and they support slaughterhouses, things that we are very strongly against, that we don't support. Simply one activity which Srimad Bhagavatam says completely disqualifies people from understanding what God is. Bhagavatam says, Bina Pashugnat. Those who are animal killers can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. They can't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we don't particularly want to be part or identify with that mainstream. And another example is that we see that some of the things that Srila Prabhupada stressed for us when he was present here, such as preaching to non-devotees, book distribution, harinam, prasadam distribution, are very often qualified as time, place, and circumstance things. Some things that we, as an institution, as individuals, as temples, emphasized when Srila Prabhupada was with us, but now things have very much changed, and therefore we should not be concentrating our efforts on that. No doubt the movement has moved on and developed since Srila Prabhupada's time, and there are other concerns for us to address, but books still are the basis, and preaching is still the essence. And purity is still the force for making Krishna consciousness movement work. Therefore, these things should not be compromised, but rather they should be guarded, maintained, protected, so that our individual Krishna consciousness and that of the movement thrives. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also said utility is the principle, and we must see how to put into practice Krishna consciousness according to time, place, and circumstance. But devotees must know what are the principles which Srila Prabhupada had given us in his teachings and never compromise those principles, and which are the details which can be changed in order to make Krishna consciousness more practicable, more acceptable, and more relevant. Just like I was remembering the recent video which was made for Srila Prabhupada's centennial about Prabhupada's pre-Western life, his first 70 years in India. And it was interesting to note that in Jhansi, Srila Prabhupada set up a podium from which he would stand and give lectures to people sitting on chairs. So this is according to time, place, and circumstance, changing the detail. What Srila Prabhupada would said would certainly be the same as what he said sitting on a vyasasan, but in order to make the presentation attractive to people used to sitting in pews and churches and listening to someone speaking from a lectern, Srila Prabhupada also introduced that. And for that same reason, in order to introduce Krishna consciousness, when we had our temple opening in Budapest, we put carpet down in the temple room and allowed our guests to see the temple walking through with their shoes. That'll be all right for a one-off occasion, but on a regular basis when they come, we'll certainly ask them to remove their shoes. So, sticking to the principles means having full faith in Srila Prabhupada, the principles which Srila Prabhupada taught us, yet at the same time making adjustments as to how these principles can be realized in different circumstances. This really requires intelligence, and it requires purity of purpose, purity of heart, so that personal motivation to either enjoy this world, to enjoy the trappings of being a spiritual leader, or weakness of heart, also a result of anartas, does not make us adjuster of principles, and thus individuals who cause us to deviate or even make deviations within the Krishna consciousness movement. This type of intelligence really comes from Krishna, dadami buddhi yogam tvam, something that we will acquire if we pray to him, worship him with love and devotion, as Krishna points out in the Gita. Thus we must always pray to Krishna to help us be a strict follower of Srila Prabhupada, to maintain and acquire pure faith in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and thus realize the result of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, if we are to incorporate Krishna's teachings our own way, we who are really nothing and have no spiritual credentials, certainly we're not going to be going back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, our motto has to be that we need to do it Srila Prabhupada's way. And for that, we should constantly pray to Krishna for his blessings and for the intelligence to be sincere souls. Hare Krishna.